I want to get into his word for this new year, all right? So if you want to follow with me with your Bible, that would be excellent. But I'm going to go quick, all right? Because I want to get right back into worship here this morning. Do you guys, when we think about the new year, we always want to be more encouraging. We always think, hey, I don't want to be a discouragement. I want to be an encouragement. Everywhere I go, I want to be an example. Well, in knowing this, it's knowing who you're walking with. So, you know, I want to tell you that God is for you, that God is with you. He's in you, upon you, beside you, beneath you. He goes before you. And not only that, he's also got your back. You know, there's something wonderful about God is for you. In Psalm 118, verses 6 through 7, it says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can mere man do to me? The Lord is on my side. He is among those who help me. Therefore, I will look in triumph on those who hate me." You know, Jesus was not sent to condemn us, but to save us. We see this in John chapter 17. God did everything he could to get us into his family, into his blessings. He's not looking for ways to keep us out. Too often there's a message preached that he's against us. Jesus is not against us. If he was looking for ways to keep us out, he's got plenty of them. But we know in Psalm 130, verse 3, it says, "The Lord, if you kept the record of our sins," oh gosh, "who, oh Lord, could ever survive?" He doesn't keep a record of our sins. Isn't that wonderful? God is with you. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. "For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you." So he can say with confidence, oh, I love it, "The Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" You know, he's not just with us in the good times. It's all the time. He was with Joseph in prison. He was with Daniel in the lion's den. He was with Jonah in that great fish. He was with Paul and Silas in that prison. Hey, listen, God is with us. He is with you. You know that God is in you. This is important. God is not just for us and with us. He actually dwells in us. Paul refers to this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. "For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory." In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people, because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." You guys know that God is upon you. Oh, man, I know he's covering us in all these different ways, but it's good to know that God has us covered from above also. In Isaiah 61, it says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." God was not just upon his people in the Old Testament. We see this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Let him rest powerfully upon you. Man, that takes some discipline. But sit back. Stop trying to make things happen. Let him rest upon you. God is beside you. Now, I suppose it's pretty similar to God being with you, but he gets pretty specific in Psalm 16:8. "I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me." Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 20:11, "The Lord stands beside me like a great warrior." The psalmist writes in Psalm 121, verse 5, "The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade." That's pretty good. God is beneath you. Deuteronomy 33:27, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms." Isaiah admonishes us to trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. That's Isaiah 26:4. You know, in times of upheaval and instability, it's great to know that we have a foundation that cannot be shaken, that we have a God who loves us, and he is a rock that will never be moved. He is the eternally stable one on whom we stand. God goes before you. David declares in Psalm 139:5, "You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head." You know, in reality, God does a whole lot more than goes before us. We know that God dwells in eternity in Isaiah 57:15. And you know that He knows the end. He's got this together. He's got it all in His hands. He's already been in the future, and you certainly are not going to get there ahead of Him. That's for sure. So without even your knowledge, sometimes we put human understanding to these things. And God says, "My understanding and my knowing is far better." That's when we can just rest in assurance and knowing He goes before you. And last but not least, God is your rear guard. He's got your back in Isaiah 52:12. And I got to tell you, this is some deep, deep, deep theology. You will not, Isaiah 52:12. I love this. I stopped during worship because I was reminded of I'm going to read this scripture. And I started reading it again real quickly, and I thought, do I go deep into this verse? I can't do it this morning, but I'm thinking about doing a whole message series around this just because of the depth of what it says. Listen carefully. "You will not leave in a hurry, running for your lives, for the Lord will go ahead of you." Now pay attention to this. "For the Lord will go ahead of you. Yes, the God of Israel will protect you from behind." Something really like a mind conundrum. I'm kind of blown away by this. I'm going to read it again. "For the Lord will go ahead of you. Yes, the God of Israel will protect you from behind." How does God go ahead of us, but yet protects us from behind? Oh, man. I know you're like, this guy's crazy. I don't understand a word. Why is he so emotional about this scripture? I don't get it. I must be dumb. No, that's not it. You're not dumb. That's what the devil wants you to think. I want you to sit and think about this. There's an answer to this. There's a clear answer. Let me read it one more time. "For the Lord will go ahead of you. Yes, the God of Israel will protect you from behind." It's prayer. Prayer before the battle. Prayer during the battle. Prayer in your closet. Prayer at home. Prayer not just on a Monday morning. Not just on a Sunday. It's prayer every day. When Paul says pray without ceasing, man, that's what this means. You are praying. "For the Lord will go ahead of you." This is the prayer moment. He's going to go ahead of you. Why? The God of Israel will protect you from behind. He's going to protect you from behind. He knows what's ahead of you. He knows what's going to happen. "Hey, Lord, I'm putting you as victory. Lord, I'm putting you as my faith. God, I'm placing all that I have in your hands. As I go before, Lord, I know you're going to go behind. You're going to go ahead of me. You're going to be upon me. You're going to be beneath me. You're going to be beside me. God's got you surrounded." The New King James Version, it renders this last part in Isaiah 52:12 as "the God of Israel will be your rear guard." He's going to protect you. One of the reasons we need a rear guard is that our enemy likes to bring up past failures and mistakes. As we enter into this new year, it's really good to have a rear guard. The blood of Jesus has truly cleansed us and given us a new start. Some of you need to have that revelation sink in this morning. You get a new start. Some of you say, "I don't know how." It's not possible. You guys, I grew up with coaches. Man, have I grown up with some coaches. When I go in at halftime, this is not a halftime, like, we're defeated. Some of you think, oh man, we're defeated. No, you're not. This is my halftime speech to you guys. Hey, it's a new start. It's a new start. Isaiah 43:12. I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. This, a couple weeks ago, it was funny. A couple weeks ago, my children made a comment about being middle-aged. And immediately my wife yelled out, I'm not middle-aged. I go, that's right. Someone said, that's right. Hold on. I looked at her and I go, we're over 40. That's middle-aged. She goes, I'm living my best life. I said, amen. The idea of the middle age is this notion of like, it's all downhill from here, right? You think, oh man. No. In the same mindset of, hey, this is halftime. Some of you are in the middle of your battle right now. This is the moment to get victory. This is the moment to see breakthrough. Some of you say, no, it's too late for me. It's never too late for you. Never too late for you. Oh man, I look forward to seeing what God's about to do. Oh, I'm praying. What did I just read? For the Lord will go ahead of you. Yes, the God of Israel will protect you from behind. He knows what's ahead of you. He knows what's behind you. He's not going to allow you to sit in these failures and these mistakes. I love what the author Gary Chapman says. He says, I am amazed by how many individuals mess up every new day with yesterday. They insist on bringing into today the failures of yesterday, and in so doing, pollute a perfectly wonderful day. I'm going to open up the altars here this morning. I'm going to ask our prayer team, Brian and Linda, I'm going to ask that Pastor Katie come up. And I want these altars right now, listen, to be open. Open to whatever it is, that new day for you. Maybe you need a breakthrough right now. Maybe something's got to shift and you're believing for something. Hey, make it happen right now. Let's go into prayer. Prayer is important. Prayer is the breakthrough moment. So these altars are open right now. All right? I want you to... Don't let the enemy stop you from getting your breakthrough. This is the moment right here. This is the breakthrough moment. So we're going to continue to worship just for a little bit longer. And these altars are open. Step out. Step up. And let your faith be known right now. Make it happen. Everyone, let's stand to our feet and let's worship here this morning.